So now, I have a Wikipedia page open in front of me here. Never rely on Wikipedia, is what they say. Pierce Turner is an Irish singer-songwriter. After forming a duo with Larry Kirwan, he went solo in the mid-1980s and has since released several albums to critical acclaim. That's only one billionth of the story, so let's get it from the horse's mouth. Basically, Pierce Turner, how are you?
Good, thank you. Good, Dave. How are you?
I'm very good indeed. Now, this coming Thursday, you are playing the John Field Room. You're playing the National Concert Hall. It's the Steinway Grand Piano is there. Well, I presume you'll be using that, or will you?
I definitely will, and I'm looking forward to it. It makes a big difference to play a good piano.
And who else will be there? Is it just you on stage, raconteuring and playing?
Yes, that's right. It's a solo show. I'm working on this thing. I've got a book that I'm working on, so and my performances with the stories from the book. It's another means of bringing in people to the songs too. You know, so.
But that's kind of something you've always done. By the way, the book, I presume, is the how shall I put this now? The autobiography of Pierce Turner, which is called "Why Use Two Words When Ten Will Do." Are you halfway through it?
I'm almost done, actually. It seems to me like I'm almost done. When the editor looks at it, I'll get another point of view. And there's going to be like fine tuning. But I've written the bones of it. Most of the stories are actually written. So it's ready to go. And I'm getting good reaction from the people I'm working with, which is a start, because I this is not my area, and I've never been one of those musicians that wants to be an actor and wants to be an author and wants to be everything. I just want to be a musician.
Okay, like, you've been a musician for a long time, Pierce, and your name has like been around for a long, many, many decades, with loads of different solo albums as well as collaborative stuff and other stuff, etc. The funny thing about it is, like, when you read about Pierce Turner, you always see, like, you know, you're described as Ireland's greatest living poet, you're described as, you know, the nearest thing since Van Morrison that we've ever had, Joy with a Voice, Yeats on Skates, all these things. When you look at New York magazines and what they've said about you, I mean, even the first album back in 87 in terms of the solo album got, like, you know, nominated for the New York Music Award, etc. The New York Post I have in front of me here says a rare artist, but I have one here, look, from the New York magazine. It says inventive songwriter, one of the city's greats. New York considers you its own, doesn't it?
Yeah, yes, it does. Yeah. I mean, I have been there for most of my life now, Dave, you know, so, I mean, I went there when I was 21, you know, so it's, you know, really, you know, I'm two thirds American, I suppose, but the truth is I'm completely Irish, you know, and I've never really felt that way, but I feel comfortable in both places now.
I feel as though your New York is the New York of Lou Reed. And by the way, have you ever met or played with Lou Reed?
I met Lou Reed a couple of times. I never played with Lou, but I met him a couple of times, and I met a couple of different kinds of Lou Reeds. One, you know, he could be charming, and he could also be really grumpy. I am from that New York though, and and you know the punk scene. You know, I was there when the punk scene started. You know.
Okay. Now, like, I mean, when you have a song in the Wire, like you do, "Dirty Old Town," when you have a song by Christy Moore called "I Love the Way Pierce Turner Sings," and when you have now the current album, or at least the most recent album, which is "Songs for a Very Small Orchestra," you go back and you get some of the people who've been kind of, you know, important to you. Philip Glass is mentioned on the current album. I'm going to play that track in a minute or two, but you played with him, and you can see yourself on YouTube. You seem to get on very well, the two of you.
Yeah, we do. Philip is, he's been like a father figure to me in ways. I was just writing about it as one of the things I'm writing in the book, and it is very touching, really, was, you know, I mean, when I walk along the street with Phil, he links my my arm like like we're a couple or something, like there's something really touching. He's a very affectionate bloke, actually, and people think he is really cerebral. He's incredibly smart too. There's no question about that, but that's not the Phil that I know. I know somebody who I've known him for a while, and I've seen him go, you know, I was there when his wife died, and I've been through a lot of stuff with him, and he's a really good friend.
Okay, well, you've been through a lot of stuff even before you left at 21. You were a classically trained musician, and up to the age of 7, and then you were sort of from a record shop at the mum and all the rest. It was music all the way, was it?
Yeah, it was. You know, I was a boy soprano. I loved singing in church when I was a kid. I come from a musical family, Dave. I'm the youngest, and everybody in it was classically trained. And my mother taught piano, so you know all that stuff. You know, but she didn't teach me piano. She kept away from me. I had to learn myself.
And when you say the church, I mean, like, would you be influenced by the text of the church and the Glorias and the Sanctus and all those kind of things?
I'm influenced by the music of the church. Yes. In fact, I sing Tantum Ergo as part of my performance. I sing a kind of a rock version of it.
Tantum Ergo Sacramentum.
Yeah.
Tantum
Ergo Sacramentum. I mean, it's a beautiful. It's a thousand years old. And I can tell you, it's really hard to figure out. It's so simple that it's actually really hard to figure out.
And they used to say the devil has all the best tunes. Okay, well, listen, let's take a look then. Before the book comes out, which is your autobiography, like, that's going even further back would be the fact that Van Morrison did it, Rory Gallagher did it, and you did it. In other words, you played in a show band. What was it like living with the Yarrows?
It was exciting for me because, you know, coming from Wexford, there was no other option, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, you couldn't join a big group because there were no big groups in Wexford. And I was originally supposed to join a big group in Dublin called the Vampires, and the guy didn't leave. And then I got the gig with the Arrows, and all of a sudden I was a show band head, you know. And I don't have any problems with it because, you know, I loved it the whole time, really. And then suddenly it dawned on me that it was a dead end street, and it was because they wouldn't do any original music at all under any circumstances, even though the band themselves wanted to do my songs and the management. But the management were so when you think about it, you know, there's no reason why show bands couldn't have been popular in England. Like, there's no reason why they couldn't have, you know, we would stand B&Bs with bands like The Move and stuff, you know. Yeah. I mean, I remember asking your man from The Move to write a song for us, which he agreed to do, and they weren't even interested in that. So it was an incredibly narrow-minded world, and you know, I don't regret doing it, but because it, you know, it gave me a lot of experience on stage, you know.
Yeah, of course. But don't forget, like, I mean, one of the things that comes through your music is 60s pop music with classical influences.
Yeah, I think that's about right. In fact, I must remember that when people ask me to describe it, because I can never describe it. I think that's right, yeah. But when you say 60s pop music, I like to think that it's like the Traffic, it's bands like Traffic.
And Kinks and all the rest of it, yeah,
and
exactly.
Pink Floyd, early Pink Floyd, all that stuff. It's like, the Kinks, yeah, exactly, Ray Davies. And I'm completely proud of it because I know that that music stands up to this day, you know. And it's a wonderful place to start with, you know. So, you know, it was good. It was good to be in that situation.
Absolutely. So when are you going back to New York?
I'm going back in the middle of July, like the 15th of July or something like that.
Right.
Just after the National Concert Hall.
Okay, well, the concert is this coming Thursday night. It's at the National Concert Hall in Dublin. That's at 8 o'clock. You'll be using the Steinway grand piano. Will you be playing any other instruments?
Yes, I'm playing guitar also.
All right.
Yeah, absolutely.
And will you be telling stories in between?
Stories in between, yeah. And, you know, the point really of this whole thing is, like, all it takes sometimes is an experience like that to bring new people to what you're doing. And, you know, for instance, like, I never heard of Philip Larkin, the poet, until 10 years ago. I saw a program on TV about him, and all of a sudden I'm a big Philip Larkin fan. So I'm just hoping someone's going to come and then be hooked in to the songs through the stories, you know, because that's what it takes sometimes. And I want to reach new people all the time. I don't want to keep paying.
Well, it always helps to have, like, for instance, Joseph O'Connor was on Desert Island Discs recently. He played a song of yours specifically about Wexford. Owen Colfer, obviously, he was here with us on the programme just not so long ago, and he was bigging you up. Brad Pitt is a fan, Tim Hutton, all these people. So it's going well. How was Carnegie Hall finally with the time you played there with Philip Glass? Was that good?
Well, it was amazing because, you know, Patti Smith was on the bill also, and Iggy Pop, and And Regina Spektor, I ended up playing a song with her on the piano, both of us together. It was amazing. It was funny because we were told to kind of take it easy with the stage, you know, because it's a very unionized hall, the Carnegie Hall is. And so we were all told not to even bring a glass of water on the stage. And then Iggy Pop came out and started slamming the microphone stand into the lovely stage, you know. So
yeah, what did they expect? It was Iggy Pop, for God's
exactly.
Sake.
And then dived into the audience again, like, which is how he injured himself in the first place, and nobody caught him either. He just, you know, but that was an amazing experience because I had a string quartet, and Philip played one song with me, and then I had a string quartet for another song. Sold out audience, and perhaps that was part of the beginning of me wanting to do the National Concert Hall. I realized that being on a stage like that, where you can hear a pin drop, and you have great lighting, you can actually take an audience deeper. You can take them somewhere else, you know. And,
okay, well, that's what you'll be doing with the Steinway, as I say, next Thursday night at the John Field Room. We're talking the National Concert Hall. We're talking Pierce Turner. And I'm going to play this track here from the recent album, Songs for a Very Small Orchestra from You, which is about your 12th or thereabouts solo-wise. And this is the opening track with Philip Glass, and it's called Yogi with a Broken Heart. So listen, thank you very much indeed, Pierce, for talking to us. And good luck on Thursday night at the gig in the National Concert Hall.
Thanks, Dave. Thank you.